Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to D&K Bible Break. We just want to say good evening to everyone that's out there that's listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening again. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, me and Miss K. Also got a special guest who's going to be sitting in with us today for our D&K Bible Break. We're going to do a part two of what we did last Monday on talking about church hurt. So I just want you guys, if you sit back and listen, and hopefully you can add some input or we can be a big help to you by what we're getting ready to talk about with the show. First and foremost, we want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of all of our lives. We also want to thank Blog Talk Radio and my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing for hooking us up with this time on the airwaves to reach everyone out there that's listening to us on tonight. Again, I just want to thank all the listeners that are listening to all of the broadcasts from Monday through Sunday. We just want to say thank you all the shows that we got going on throughout the week. And again, last month we had 40,000 listeners for the whole month that listened, that tuned in at some point throughout the week to listen. So again, I just want to say thank all those that support us and listen to us all over the country. This not here in Atlanta, but we're in Texas, we're in Phoenix, we're in Houston, we're in all over the Chicago. It's all over the United States right now, and I just want to say thank you. It's kind of like going back old school when people radio programs and people would just sit by the radio and listen, but now that we're more advanced, you can pull us up on the internet or call in on your phone and listen to us, and I just really, really appreciate it. Appreciate it by myself and everyone that's listening to Chaos Talk Radio. Again, I'm just going to give you a short rundown on our weekly schedule. You know, tonight, Monday nights at 7 p.m., is me and my wife called D&K Bible Break. Tuesday night, we have Praise Tabernacle. Tuesday night, Bible Study, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Also, on Wednesday night, we have Elder George Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, at 9 p.m. on Wednesday night. Also, we have on Friday is Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar Zachary Friday Night Services is at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Also, we have on Friday night after that, we have Freestyle Friday with the Overseer, Timothy Jackson, on Friday night. And also Saturday, we have Overseer Timothy Jackson, Spiritual Sense of Life, on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. With that being said, we're going to get ready. We're going to do part two of what we talked about last Monday. And I got a special guest sitting in with me. I'm going to have the Overseer sitting in with me tonight. from Dallas, Texas. He's going to sit in with us as we talk about some church hurt. Before I get into the church hurt, I'm feel some type of way today. And the reason I feel some type of way is because this subject, I used to be one of them ones that whatever someone said, that's what I listened to. I never read the word. If you told me to go right, I went right. If you say go left, I went left. And it bothers me that I allow myself during my young 20s, and I was just being led because that's what people were telling me to do. They weren't leading me to build me up for a relationship. They were leading me to build me up for religion, and that those are two different things that you follow. So I'm kind of passionate by people who get hurt in church. I'm just passionate by it because I experienced it. Now I'm over it. I've been delivered of it. I don't hold no grudges with nobody. But when I see other people, and I mentor a lot of people, talk to a lot of people who is being hurt by where they're fellowshipping at. And that's a slippery slope because you can't, you know, they have to be led to leave, but you also got to tell the truth. And so tonight we're going to talk about church hurt again. I have my special guest. I'm going to bring him on in a few minutes. I got my wife, my right hand, my partner, my best friend with me tonight, Miss Kay. She's going to be getting us started off. But before she gets us started off again, I just want to thank everyone out there that listens to us throughout the week. I'm going to do a little program note for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Bible study for Praise Tabernacle. In case I forget, I'm not trying to, but got a lot on my mind tonight. Hopefully I can get it all off my chest. But tomorrow night, Bible study at 7 p.m., Evangelist Dove Stanton will be teaching tomorrow night Bible study. And I just want people, if you ain't going nowhere, if you don't have a church home, or even if you do have a church home, if you just want to be a part of a good Bible study, I encourage you to come out tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You will not be disappointed. I'm just going to leave it at that. You will not be disappointed. But tomorrow night with Praise Tabernacle Bible study at 7 p.m. With that being said, tonight, D&K Bible Break, we will be talking about church hurt. And I'm going to let Miss Kay, you can go ahead and get us started off. But before you get us started off, just let me do a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for bringing us to you one more time, Father God. Father God, let the word be given the way you would have it be given, Father God. And Father God, we hope that it will touch someone's heart, someone's soul, Father God. Father God, that you hide us behind the cross where we're not seen, but your word is seen. And Father God, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Kay, and you can go and lead us into the church hurt part two.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. I pray that everybody had a good weekend and a good Monday so far. So I kind of want to teach a little bit based off of what my husband just said as far as religion goes, because a lot of times we do things out of tradition. So, like, for example, many people do go to church out of tradition because that's what their mom did, that's what their granny did. So it's just a tradition that on the Lord's Day you go to church. So, and some people go because somebody at the church, they checking out, so they just going because they want to hook up with brother, sister, so-and-so, and they want to showcase, you know, their little gifts and talents to have all eyes on them. So different reasons why people attend church. So you have people that attend church, and then you have people that are actually laborers and workers in the church. And some people go because they like the fellowship, other like-minded people, or they want to feel a sense of belonging. Some even go because it's a big church. It's out of prestige. They want to just, you know, because of the church's status and popularity, they want to go to that church. You know the name brand, if I can say it like that, name brand churches that, you know, I know in Dallas we got a real big one, but, you know, a lot of name brand churches, and people just want to go and stay because they go to that church. And truth be told, a lot of people also go because they're running from their past. They don't like the things that they do. They're tired of their pain. They have a need to fill a void, or maybe they're running to something. somebody told them about the Lord and they wanted to come to church just to see if what the people were saying is true. The problem is a lot of people read us before they even read the Bible. So if we as church folk, and I'm including myself, if we as church folk don't walk and talk and our actions are not lining up with the Word of God, we're hurting people. So we got to be held accountable for what we do as well. You know, a lot of the times you somebody might come into church, the usher is making them sit all the way in the front. Maybe they don't want to sit in the front. As long as they're in the house of the Lord, let them just have a seat. So people want to get attitudes when you don't want to move or you don't want to go in a direction that they're telling you to go. You're just like, can I just sit right here? So, and then we can give off the wrong attitude when it comes to just serving. If you have the wrong attitude when you're serving somebody, do something else. Have a seat. Think about what you're doing. And I don't know, either you're going to church because your heart is open, you want to receive everything that God has for you, or your heart is closed because all of the hurt that you endured. So, and that goes from the pulpit all the way down to the pew. Because truth be told, a lot of people do come to church and they drain the church. They suck up all the finances. They create drama. They just stir up things in the church. So it's not all on the leaders and the members of the church. It's a lot of people that use the church. So tonight we're going to be covering a lot of different things. We may say some things that you might not agree with. We may say some things that you may agree with. Keep in mind, everything that we do for the Lord. So pray for us as we pray for you. And the goal is to let the Lord's will be done on tonight and to help people that's been hurt, to let them know that they can make it because God is able. So I'm going to turn it over to the ministers on the panel, and I'm going to let them take it from there.
Right. All right. Now, as I said in the beginning, we have a special guest, the overseer, Timothy Jackson, out of Dallas, Texas, will be sitting in with us. And I want to thank you for being on with us tonight. And just from what we've talked about so far, overseer, do you have anything you want to add to what Ms. Kay said?
Amen. Well, first of all, I want to say all glory to the Most High, acknowledging the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to say I thank you guys for having me on. I thank you so much. I think you guys have been doing a wonderful job. I listened to you guys on Monday nights. And so I really enjoyed the show last week. I guess it was part one of Church Hurt. And just want to say you guys are doing a beautiful job. I'm proud of you guys. I really am. I don't know why I felt led to say that, but amen. All glory to the Most High. Great segment, great subject. I guess for my experience in the church, it's been more not really hurt, but kind of like continual disappointments would probably be my description, at least for my experience. And I guess, you know, I'm like you, Derek. I've been in church all my life. Same with Ms. K. Been in church all my life. Ever since I was born, you know, Dad was a pastor. Mama played the organ, you know, keyboard, piano, whatever. And I hold the church in high esteem, as we should. And I feel like church leadership has failed the people, especially the leaders who have had great opportunities. Not all. But I would kind of say more than half from my experience. I feel like the leadership could definitely love. I mean, if you know me, I always teach on love because love is the backbone of the church. And when me and you talked about, me coming on doing part two with you guys, the only thing that I could think of, especially from listening to the show last week, is, you know, just try the spirits by the spirits. And that's how I guard myself. You got to protect yourself. And I'm just a person that I'm going to protect him. If I feel like a person is how should I say this? Is unruly in the church, or you know, they just, to me, in my personal opinion, don't have the spirit of the Most High in them. I'll just, you know, I just kind of maneuver around them. I just won't have nothing to do with them. We deal with people that's close to us like that. When I say close, not necessarily your immediate family, but maybe people that's in the family that you're around. And it's disappointing to see people who are supposed to be quote-unquote pastors. I say quote-unquote Christians because I don't call them believers. Because believers, true believers, show love, you know. And I believe it's important that we show love to one another. And this is one of the greatest commandments that Christ gave the church. You know, we have to love one another. Treat people like you want to be treated, kind of like the golden rule, because a lot of people are being hurt in the church. And it's highly disappointing. I know, you know, Derry, me and you talk a lot. And the church is really losing a lot of souls. And this is what's really hurtful, is that we're hurting the body of Christ. We want to grow. We don't want to lose people to cult religion. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How do you lose to a cult religion when these religions are using our books, using our Bible, misquoting scriptures, misteaching the scriptures? There are people out there that's teaching that Christ is not the Son of the Most High, using our Bible, and our Bible doesn't even teach that. But the people in the church are hurt. The people in the church are hurt because our leadership are not following the word. They're not living the word. You know, it doesn't make sense to. And when I used to pastor, I used to tell my people, my church that had positions, hey, if I don't come down on you, why are you coming down on somebody else? I never understood that. I don't even talk to you like that. Why are you talking to somebody else like that? And, you know, the pastors are the overseers of the church. The church is not ours. The church belongs to Christ. The members are not ours. The members are Christ. And so we are stewards. We're responsible for the flock. But he's the master shepherd. You know, he's the head shepherd. We're just under him. And our job is to protect the sheep. That's our job as pastors, is to protect people's souls, not to hurt people, not to mistreat people, not to talk to people. We're not running a corporation here. That's your job. That's what you do on Monday through Friday. When you come to church and in the evening time and on Saturday, Sunday, whichever day you choose to have service on, love is the primary focus. And this is what Christ wrote to John. He told John, you know, that the church of Ephesus was known for it. They lost their first love. Get back to your first love. You know, we love Christ. We love the church. We loved everybody when we first got saved or when we first started coming to church. At least that was the look, you know. But all of a sudden, you start hanging around certain people in church. You start following certain people in church, and you kind of lose that. And, you know, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord that, you know, God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like the first. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. If I love me, I'm not going to do anything offensive to Derek. I'm not going to talk about him or Miss Kay or do anything like that behind the back. Because when I love myself, I'm not going to talk about myself. So why am I going to talk about somebody else? And a lot of times we don't think spiritually. We're not walking in the Spirit to be led by the Spirit and to let the Spirit guide our conscience and say, you know what, is that the right thing to do? Would I want someone to say something about me? A lot of times we don't think like that. We get in self, we become selfish. And I think that's just some of the things that I'm just thinking about, is that people are being selfish. Some people don't have good attitudes in the church. And we need to change these things. Because I believe it was Ms. Kay just mentioned. Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, I didn't want to add, you know, change things in the church, and you know, I get it, I don't get it, and I just want to share a story, and I promise I'm not going to talk too much tonight, just because I feel something brewing, and I promised my wife I was going to behave today. I really did, and the reason I'm going to behave today is because we had a conversation yesterday. This is a true story. I heard something. I'm not going to say anything about what I heard, but I heard something and it upset me. And my wife was like, calm down, just leave it alone. And it wasn't that it hurt me. It wasn't a direct thing on me. But there's people who just went to church yesterday for the first day or have only been there a week, and they heard something that has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with their personal relationship with Christ. And if they listen to what I heard yesterday, it could lead them not to want to serve Christ. And if I didn't know no better, I wouldn't want to have nothing to do with the church. I'm just being honest. I don't want to have nothing to do with a church, no church, because if what I heard yesterday, if that upset me, and I've been in church all my life, what would it do to someone who just walked in and just heard the word for the first time? And where I get upset and where I get going off somewhere is because I've been in church, I was hurt before, I'm over it, so don't send me emails, let stuff go. It's not about me. It's about babies who hearing it for the first time. And then when you talk to them one-on-one, you got a mess to clean up. And these people, preachers, pastors, whoever you want to call them, have a platform every week to make someone's relationship up with Christ. And it's easy for me to tell my wife what the word says, because we've been in this a long time. We know how to do certain things. If you ain't never knew how to look up a scripture, never knew how to apply it to your life, and you're being told something that is so far-fetched to the left, how in the world? And then, you know, and then there's conditions on love. You only going to love me if I give tithes. You only going to love me if I make your church look good. You're only going to love me if... And this is what goes on in the church. And now that we have this COVID-19 going on and we can't be in church, a lot of people have been faking the funk in church for years. They don't know what to do right now. And I'm just being transparent. I'm just being honest about it. A lot of people have been in church 20 years who don't know how to act right now because they can't get inside four walls. Their religion is gone. And a lot of church people, I'm not going to call them Christians or believers because I really don't know what they are, but it's not my job to judge them or anything like that, so I'm not going to do that. But they're stir crazy to the point now they're listening to other things and it's taking them right out of their relationship with Christ and they don't even know it. Whenever you have Christians messing around with Muslims and listening to Muslims, and then when you talk to them, their attitude is a little different. Well, and who you been talking to? What you been doing? And then they have enough history in the church because their pastors and teachers didn't teach them anything on how to survive outside the four walls of the church, and they don't know how to study for themselves. Some people, if they can't talk to the pastor 5 minutes at the end of the service and have that conversation with them, they don't know what to do. And then they allow other people to dictate to them how to be, how to act, mind control. And because I was so upset yesterday, I was going to go off today. I was all ready and prepared for today, but my wife said something to me that had me check myself. It wasn't that she asked me not to say anything. It was the fact that at one point, she used to be one of the ones that was hurt and listened to everybody. Now, I would be hypocritical to go on my word against what she asked me not to do for a certain reason she asked me not to do it, not because we scared anybody, but because we're moving on and we're past a lot of stuff. We want to go to the next level. We don't have to shine light in all dark places. We just need to let our light shine. And wherever we go, our light will shine. We ain't got to go find it in dark places. And yesterday, we just happened to be listening to some people on the radio, and we found some dark places. It's not my job to over-preach someone or over-teach someone, but it is my job, as Christ leads me, is to tell people the truth about salvation. Because at the end of the day, that's really what all I'm concerned
right.
about, is salvation. And we take a wrong turn when a lot of people, because we want to control their lives. We want to tell them, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's not our job to do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job to tell them and correct them. Our job is to give them the Word of God and teach them how to receive the Word of God. Teach them how to hear the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job and the Lord's job to clean them up. That don't belong to us. That does not belong to us. And we want to judge, and we want congregations to be perfect. And the Bible said there's no one perfect. No one is perfect. But the idea that you want to perfect yourself to be in Christ, that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who are willing to do his will in an imperfect world. And it just bothers me. So I'm sorry to be so long-winded today, but I'm trying to be nice, and I'm trying to keep on the of church hurt. Because so many times, me personally, and I only use me for a reference, I'm over it. I'm delivered from it. But I don't want to call out none of my friends or people I talk to, because that's in private. That wouldn't be cool. But a lot of people are hurting right now. And the thing about it is I understand they're hurt. Now, how can I help them in their hurt? I just tell them the more questions you ask your leader, you're going to make him uncomfortable. Because if you ask the question and you're looking for the truth will set you free. If they're not giving you the truth, that ought to tell you something. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm gonna try to make it as simple as possible. But if someone is lying to you and they can't tell you the truth, do you really want to trust your salvation with them type of leaders? I ain't saying every leader is perfect, but when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your soul, you ought to have some type of growth. And you ought to be able to ask questions. And you ought to be able to perfect what the Lord has given you. I'm like this, because I believe we live in the last days. And I want to preach. I want every chance I get an opportunity. I am on fire for the Lord right now. And I got to, I want to say, and I promise you, I really am going to be quiet. Romans 8:38-39. It says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 39, nor heights, nor depth, nor any of these creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing
Amen.
Can separate us from the Lord. Nothing, not sin. Okay, I may sin today, but the Lord is going to cover me. I'm glad I'm not looking... I'm glad people not judging me the way leaders or people judge, because the blood is covering me. The blood is the reason he went to Calvary. It's for my sin. So if I'm asking for forgiveness for my sin, he's going to cover me. You can't tell me not to come to church because I'm sinning. You can't say put a label on me because I'm not living the way you want me to live. And me and wife were talking yesterday. I have two sons. One of my sons, okay, he got a couple baby mamas. I cannot disown my son because he got a couple baby mamas. I can't disown him. I don't like the fact he got a couple baby mamas, but at the end of the day, that's still my son. There's still hope. He still has potential to do great things. He made some mistakes. Who hadn't made no mistakes? So when I say that, and I know that I'm talking to a certain group of people that I talk to on a daily basis, yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Just because you make a mistake don't mean that you cannot be used by Christ. Don't mean that. David made a mistake. And the Bible says David was the apple of God's eye.
Now, he didn't practice in it and live in it, but he did make a mistake. He did fall. And we all know the story of David and what he did. But the Bible says that David was the apple of God's eye. But David sinned. And don't no one want to talk about that. But you're giving people license to sin. No, I'm not giving people license to sin. A relationship with Christ is a personal relationship. And the Bible says none of us are perfect. And if we say we're perfect, we are lying and the truth is not in us. So, no, you're going to have some bad days. But I am persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. So when you bootleg preachers try to teach people that they got to be a certain way, that's not true. That's not true. Everyone is at their own pace and everyone go at their own level. But I'm talking too much, Kay. Go ahead and say something.
I just want to add in there. You know, as you were talking, I thought of something, and I hope I don't say it to offend anybody because that's not what I'm trying to do. But I was thinking of a slave and a master. So some churches seem like they're set to be the leader, the leaders are the masters, and the members are, if I can use the word slave, that's what I'm going to use. I hope I don't offend anybody. But it's like you're browbeating your congregation, like you're so high above them, and they're peons, and you treat them like crap, and if they make any error, you're going to just go off on them, and you're doing it in a rude way. You're not doing it in love. You're not coming at them. It's showing love. You're coming at them like you're above and they're beneath. And I don't think God is pleased with anybody that's browbeating their members and chastising them when you can view correction without having to be so harsh and so disrespectful to people, because we're all grown. I'm grown. I don't need you coming at me sideways. You know, and a lot of people, you know, you might pull something out of them because they ain't fully delivered and you might get hurt. So I think it's best if we learn, if they learn, I don't want to say we because I'm not a leader. If you got to learn how to talk to people too and treat them with respect. If I can, Luke 6 and 31 says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." So treat me how you want to be treated. Respect me. I'm going to respect you. So the other scripture I want to go to is when Overseer was talking. I want to do 1 John 4:20. This is to piggyback off of what the Overseer was saying. "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." So it's, you have to love one another. You have to show love. And we're not doing that. We're just pointing our finger and just talking to grown people like they're kids and chastising them. And that's not what we should be doing. We're grown. Let's have a decent conversation. You ain't got to come at me sideways. We can talk normal. That's all I wanted to say. Go, Overseer, you can go ahead. Just wanted to say that.
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying. I don't know what happened to the Overseer, but at the end of the day, when people who are hurt in church, it either comes from a couple different ways, and we just gonna get into this real quick. Is a lot of times you go to church, and I've been to church, and the ushers will make you mad as soon as you walk in the door. I may not want to sit up in the front pew. I may not want to sit in the. I may want to sit in the back because I may have a bathroom issue that I need to get out. I don't want to go up to the front. So let me sit where I want to sit. But see, there's rules and regulations when it comes to the church. And see, I'm starting to get happy now. And sometimes we got to break the rules in order to get the soul. You know, I understand there's certain rules and regulations you got to have in the house and respect the house and all that. We're not saying that you shouldn't have them type of rules. But what I'm saying is people have been hurt just by the conversation with an usher. People have been hurt because when they come to church for the first time, they may not have what you want to say church clothes on. And we, every church says, come as you are. But if Sister Sue come in and all she know is how to look like a hoochie, you can't call that out and embarrass them because you got rules and regulations. Now, back in the old day, they take the Sister Sue downstairs and talk to her and go give her an outfit to wear that Sunday for the next, but don't nobody know about it, but that little group. But when Sister Sue come in looking like that, everyone got their eyes on her, and next thing you know, she's still uncomfortable. And I'm going to keep on going with a few other church hurts that I've talked about, and I've been talking to people about this week. When you go to church, they give you them little visitor cards, and you fill it out, and then you don't know when else call you back, so no one call you, concerned about your soul, but everyone is jumping up and down, filled with the Spirit, yelling and shouting.
Amen.
But yet come Monday, they don't call you back, and yet we heard the overseer talk about love. Where the love in that at? But I'm gonna keep it moving, because, like I said, I'm not trying to get myself stirred up, though. But that's number two. We got the ushers, then we got the callbacks. Then when you've been in church all this time for a month, you're struggling to get to church. We know the economy is jacked up. You can't put no money in the offering plate, and now you need some help. Well, we can't help you because you're not a member and you ain't been tithing. Well, first of all, if you want to become a tither, that's something that comes years of practicing to be a perfect tither. Okay, it don't happen overnight. You just ain't going to be tithing overnight and you got bills due. It's a process. But when they're asking for help and you don't want to give them no help, okay, and I know what some priests said. Well, I tell you what, Derek, we'll have them call you. When someone needs to call, well, I can't, you know. I need some help sometime myself. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to leave them hanging, because I know somebody that can help them. If I physically can't help them, I know somebody that can help them. I can call someone on the phone. Can you help a brother? They're in a situation. It don't mean you got to put their business out there, but you don't discourage them from even coming to ask for help, because you can't help them in the simple stuff. How are you going to help them in the hard stuff? So, and the reason I brought that up, because I know an individual who lost their mother, father was on drugs, and they were teenagers, and they were running the household by themselves, and they were $70 short on an electric bill. The church they was going to, the pastor let me pray about it. And know what the young man started doing? Started selling drugs. I'm not making that up. That's a true story that happened. But he's church hurt, because when he went and did it the right way and went to the pastor, and the pastor knew all the stuff I just said, we were going to pray about it.
Wow.
$70. So when you see me get emotional and go off on preachers, because I know what they're doing when they're not really serving the Lord, and like right now during this COVID-19 stuff, you see a lot of preachers, they don't know what to do because they can't preach. And they lose their congregation. And there's a brother named Derek that got people on the air that's trying to save souls. We don't care what you do Monday through Sunday. We don't care. But at the end of the day, we want your soul right. Once we get the soul right, we get the rest of it right after that. Let's just get the soul right. So the reason the Lord is blessing us to reach so many different people is not based because Derek got all the answers, or we can do this, or anybody that I'm associated with or that's associated with Chaos Talk, we got all the answers. The reason we're doing it is that we're trying to get the soul right. If we get the soul right, then the Holy Ghost can come in and clean everybody else up. It ain't about all this other type of stuff. You got to act this way, act that way, and do this and do all of that. Turn yourself around, and then you'll be blessed. Or the only reason you ain't blessed is because you ain't serving God. That's a lie. I've been serving God for a long time, and the reason I wasn't, but because he was developing me. How can I know that God is a healer if I ain't never sick? How can I know God can provide all my needs if I ain't never broke? If my heart ain't never been broken, how do I know he'll mend my heart? See, that we
that's right.
This is what people got to go through some things, and we got to be there to help them, put a word on them, and to guide them. Not to tell them to stop doing what they're doing. That's not our job. Our job is to tell them that Jesus loves you no matter what. And I'm going to be fully persuaded. Can't nothing separate me from the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care what nobody tells me. And so when I see these preachers and they want to be big on numbers about what was going on and this, that, and the other, well, that's fine. In a few short months, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. I'm going to let the overseer and Kay talk for a minute, but I'm going to talk about this in a minute, how the Lord is blessing when I was hurt. In a few months, what I did and how the Lord just turned it around for me. I want to testify about that because that's where the Lord is leading me, and I'm going to be nice on these other preachers and everything else. So, overseer, you want to add anything to what we're talking about?
Amen. All glory to the Most High. And I'm still here. Amen. I've just been enjoying you guys. Amen. I'm just listening. I've been enjoying it. Great word. I mean, you guys are definitely hitting the nail on the head. I mean, you really are. I just want to share some scriptures because you know me. I'm a Bible person, so I'm going to give you the word, and I'll say something. But Ephesians, it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. Anytime we're dealing with someone in leadership, we should talk to them with love, okay? Again, as a church, we're not running a corporation. We're not running the business, okay? I know there are a lot of people out there in churches that think that you're running the business. You are not. You're running an organization, which is different from a business. Does it have business in it? Yes, it does have business within it. But at the core, you have your leader, which is Christ. At the core, you're serving the Most High, and you're led by the Holy Spirit. And when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you are to walk in love. And this is the problem with leadership in church. Churches that I've been part of, churches I've been members of, I would see things that I just didn't approve of. And that's, you know, that would lead me to leave the church. You know, if you're constantly doing something that's just not right, I'm not going to continue to follow you. Because, again, as I said earlier, I have to guard my soul. And I encourage people that are experiencing church hurt. I've seen people experience church hurt and stay in a church, which to me, I just never could understand that. At some point, you have to. I just couldn't, sister. At some point, it has to rest in your mind.
I'm guilty.
Okay.
I'm guilty.
Amen. You said you're guilty. Amen. And a lot of people are. And I'm not saying that to down anyone. I'm just saying, it's kind of like being in an abusive relationship. You can't allow someone to continue to hurt you and stay there. That's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your spirit. It's not healthy for your soul. And so if someone is continuing to, I mean, I've seen it before my own eyes. I'm like, I just can't believe this sister's staying under this. And, you know, it's not my place to confront the pastor over. It's just not. You know, whether I'm associated with the pastor or if I'm serving on it's just not my place to, you know, I pray for him and I pray for that individual. Some people may not agree with that, but it's just not my place to go in and confront that person. But at the same time, for the most part, we have to speak the truth in love. Be ye therefore followers of the Most High, you know, as the children, as believers, and walk in love as what? Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for a sweet-smelling Savior. Amen. That's Ephesians.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
As the church, this is our duty. I never understand why pastors think they're running a corporation. You're not. Stop talking down to people. They're not your members. They're Christ's members. They happen to attend the church that you're overseeing. And, you know, this is something that we, and a lot of times, this is why I probably wasn't liked by too many pastors, because when I preach, I also step on pastor's shoes, and they didn't like that. I remember one time I actually preached, and it was a cast of pastors behind me, and I basically, what I said in my message, I confronted them, and they all looked at me crazy. I didn't care, because my job is to speak the truth in love, even if pastors are out of line, because when we preach and teach, we should step on our own shoes. We should preach to ourselves first before we can preach to anyone. So we ought to get our own soul salvation right. And don't let anyone hurt your feelings. You know, don't let people – you have to guard yourself. And I understand that sometimes people can do things. Well, none of us are perfect. There may have been times that maybe I may not have come off as the best, maybe not purposely. But you never know who you offend. We offend people knowing and unknowing. And so we ask for forgiveness at times as much as we can. The Bible says that we are to ask for forgiveness for our offenses. And so, but if a person is constantly, continually offending you, I've dealt with this thing, you know, around people who quote unquote call themselves Christians. And I've come to the conclusion that they cannot be saved. How can you be saved and continuously be rude, disrespectful, and ugly to people? Where does the Holy Spirit live? How is the Holy Spirit indwelling you and you're constantly rude and disrespectful and ugly to people? You're talking ugly and mean to people. That's not the Holy Spirit. How is that even possible? And so I'm telling you, I've seen it from so-called pastors. I've seen it from so-called first ladies. I've seen it from deacons in the church, mission, you name it. I've seen it from people. And I sit back and I watch this, you know, I kind of laugh within my spirit because I have to come to the conclusion this person, the Bible says, try the spirits by the spirit. It says, beloved, believe not what? Every spirit, but try the spirit. It said, try the spirit. What does that mean, to try the spirits? It means to test. That word means to test the spirit, whether the spirit is of Yahweh. Is this person of the Most? Hey, any person I deal with, let me tell you, when people first meet me, they always say, man, you were so quiet when I first met you. Because I'm trying you. I don't know you. I'm not just going to be hee-hee and ha-ha with everybody that I meet. I don't. Because I don't know you. I'm trying your spirit, whether you are the Most High. Do I want to hang around? Do I want to be associated with you? Do I even want to conversate with you? And I was known for this. You know, people will start talking foolish. I just walk off in the middle of a conversation. I don't want nothing to do with that because you're not going to pour anything. I have to protect my spirit. I have to protect my soul because people will, if you're not careful, they'll have you indulging in their mess. They'll have you conversating about nonsense. If you're not careful, I don't want nothing to do with that. So I would have to guard myself. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? God, Yahweh, God in heaven. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, there we have it. If you,
amen.
You have to identify a loving person, a gentle spirit, not someone that's talking harsh. If you see people who's constantly talking like that, come on. So we have to identify people by their spirit. People will let you know who they are. Not even 30 days. You used to say back in the day, you can tell who a person is by being around them for 30 days. People will tell you who they are in some cases, 24 to 48 hours. You know who they are. And you know that you shouldn't be hanging around that person. So don't allow yourself to be fooled. The Bible tells us constantly, Paul writes constantly, don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Brethren, be not ignorant. The Bible teaches us and tells us if you read the word. So don't allow people to misguide you. That's the issue in the church. People are so misguided. We are our leaders in the church, and I have to speak on leaders because I'm a leader, because our leaders have let the church down so much. And this is the reason why we have a falling away now of the church. What Paul wrote about the falling away of the church is not believers not like leaving the church, not being saved anymore. There's no such thing. The Bible doesn't teach that. That falling away means that more people will start looking less to the church as an answer. And that's what Derek hit on earlier. That's why I say you guys are hitting the nail right on the head. Now people are not even looking towards the church as a light. We are supposed to be the light of the world. And so Now your light is not even shining. So in a dark place, no one is looking to you. Why? Because you become prideful, because you think it's about money, because you think it's about you, because you think it's your church, because you think it's your memory. It's about your car, your suits, your shoes. Your. I had a friend that was a minister also back in, he was from Fort Worth, and he told me some stories that I just couldn't believe. He told me about this pastor that had an entourage. I said, pastors don't have an entourage. What is that about? He said, yeah, he had an entourage, people who would open doors for me. I could open my own door. My hands work. I don't need nobody to open my door for me. They were doing some silly stuff. We're not celebrities. We're not entertainers. We don't entertain that mess. The Bible says we are not the world. Why are we trying to imitate the world? He doesn't need you to imitate the world. The world should imitate you. And again, this is the problem with the church. And so, you know, again, getting back to the scripture, there is no fear in love. If I love you, you have no reason to fear me. You shouldn't fear your pastor. You shouldn't fear going into the pastor's office. What are we really doing?
Let me ask you a question there. I know you're getting on a roll, but I got to ask a question. When you talk about shouldn't fear in all this, so I'm just going to put it out there, and I'm going to let you take it because I'm going to be nice today. So when you say operate in love, so if I see something in my wife, I say, oh, she's a teacher. She qualifies because of her experience, but yet she need to go through my classes of expertise. She needs to sit under my class, and then we're gonna do a class, and we're gonna charge $100 for this class to show you how to teach a class. Now, see, but we will be loving everybody in love, but yet love is turned into a dollar, and there's nothing about love.
Right.
Everybody, and I'm not saying all churches. And I'm sorry, overseer, but I got to get this in there. Before I forget it.
Right, go ahead.
But all these leaders, and I got some of them on my line now, I'm just going to say it. It's not a church. You're not operating in love. All it is about a dollar.
Right.
And ain't no one coming to the church right now because the church is weak, because the leaders are weak. The only strong leaders are the ones that are preaching the gospel. And when you listen to the preachers that are preaching the gospel, they're preaching either two things, either repent or salvation. You need to get your life right,
amen,
or you need to get saved. And then once you get that, we can deal with the rest of it later. But right now, we're living in a time where you got to preach what's right. And now, because I'm a preacher, don't no preachers want to put me behind a pulpit right now. See, they don't want to see me coming because they already know what's going to happen when I come. I ain't saying all, but a lot of them, especially with the big church, they try to keep Brother Derek down, and the reason trying to keep me down, and see this little blog talk that's going on right now, we're making a little bit of noise, mm-hmm, making a lot of people nervous. Well, how in the world are you getting 40,000 people? The reason we're getting 40,000 people is because we're preaching the word, and God is going to draw. And
amen,
we ain't drawing, we ain't promoting. I'm one of the sorriest leaders when it comes to promoting the programs on it. It just happened to be there. It's not me. It's through the Lord. The Lord is drawing the people. I can't.
Amen.
The leader, the people who's doing the programs can't take credit for it. It just happens. And and I said I was going to testify about this because a couple months ago, I wasn't even thinking about chaos. I had it. It was at my disposal, and the Lord told me to use it. I said, well, how am I going to use it? I went to a church. Bishop Omar asked me, the first thing he asked me, when last time you preached? That's the first thing he asked me. And I thought that was kind of why he asked me that question. Well, if you're a preacher and you called by God, you got to preach. You got to feed that spirit. First thing he did, he fed me. It wasn't about his ego. It wasn't about, oh, he going to out-preach me or this, that, or the other. In fact, he wasn't even going to preach twice a month before the cold. The thing was going on. So let the brother preach. He gave me something. And see, what preachers don't want to do, we don't want to give nobody something. We want to charge people for what they want to give. We want to charge it. We want people to be leader. We want people to go pay this money to do this and pay this money to do that. If you've been called, you ain't got to pay nothing. Who paid Jesus?
Amen. That's right.
Who paid him? Show me any scripture where he got paid for doing anything. And if I'm not mistaken, he rode on a donkey. He didn't have a white horse on one of the finals. He was on a donkey. Now he's coming back on a horse. That's a different subject for a different day. But he rode in on a donkey.
That's right.
And we had to ride. We too good to ride in a Chevette or a Cavalier. We too good. We too good to do that. But what I'm saying is, if we pull up in a Chevette, people gonna look at you. Oh, well, you sit in the back now. You can't be up here. You can't come on the pulpit. You ain't worthy enough to come on the pulpit. You don't have the finances to come on the pulpit. But the gospel is free. And all the thing I want to say is if it's free, we ought not be charging people to train them if God called them. If God called them and God is for them, why are we trying to make them pay? So I'm questioning their calling. So, yeah, I don't expect for people to call me to come to their church and preach their anniversary or anything like that, and that's fine. That's a dandy. But at the same time, they call me wanting to know how you get 40,000 listeners. That's what they want to know. And I'm going to tell them the same way I wife. I don't know. You can take that with the Lord, because he is leading and guiding me. He tells me who to put on the show, who not to put on the show. He tells me how this stuff works. We ain't getting paid. It costs money to be on the air. We ain't charged a dime. But at the end of the day, the Lord gets the glory. 40,000 people. And just in January, I was ready to, and when I say this, please don't be texting me, or I'm just using the play of word. I was at spiritual suicide, and I went to a Bible study. I heard Elder Taylor teach a Bible study, and the Bible study that he taught, it hit me. It just like gave me CPR. It just like revived me from one Bible study. That word, that one Bible study. And when he taught the Bible study, I'm like, man, this is awesome. And then I said, I got to have that brother on my show. And when he came on the show,
amen.
The difference with him coming on the show was he's very quiet, very professional. But when he talk about the word, he gets real excited. It's his excitement. And now that I surrounded myself around people who are excited about the word, it ain't about the money. It's about the word. And if you get excited about the word, you don't have no issues with teaching. You don't have no issues with preaching because you're excited
That's
about
right.
the word. Whoever teaches the word, you know you're going to get fed the word, and you know you're going to grow. And if you keep growing in the word, you're going to get to the next level. And all the stuff that we're battling down here, you have enough to deal with what you got to deal with. I hope I said that right. I hope everyone can understand what I'm saying. But I'm trying. It's hard. I'm a preacher at heart. I'm trying to stay on course. But at the same time, I'm also trying to let people know who've been hurt. All you got to do is be persuaded and stay in the fight and find you somewhere that's teaching the word of God. And what I mean by teaching, that's going to help you hear the word and help you be a doer of the word. Now, that's different than coming to church, giving your money, giving your time, and you can't perfect your gift. Let me see if I can put it this way. I'm going to really be done after I say this. I coach football, coach basketball, I coach football. And what you do is get ready, you practice for the game. And everybody from player 1 to player 15 want to play in the game. They get excited. They want to get put in the game. Right now, there should be an excitement with the believers of Christ wanting to get in the game. This is the opportunity for you to let what the Lord given you to shine. So we can be the answer for the world. But we can't be the answer for the world because we're scared. We hiding in the closet. We hiding behind a desk trying to act intelligent. Like we know we got the answer. If you ain't preach because of COVID, I question your calling. If you ain't preach. If you ain't teach because of COVID, I question your calling, because now you ought to be doing more preaching, more teaching now than you ever did before, because you're outside of the four walls. There's no boundaries. There's no limits. There's no ushers to stop you at the door. You can get your own mic. I guess I just need to be quiet on this because I'm going somewhere with this. And ain't no one in here where I'm going with this. But what I've learned, through Praise Tabernacle Bishop Omar is he has church every Friday and every Sunday in his home. It's just him and his family having church. That's what I see. That's what you see. Him and his family have church. Every week, twice a week, they have church. Praise worship, they have church at their home. Inside, therefore, what they have church. There ain't no one there to stop them from having church. They ain't got to worry about the people arguing about this, they have church at home. The question is, if you're not having church at home, there is an issue somewhere with your relationship with Christ. And I'm just going to leave it at that and let y'all talk. Now, we can talk about church hurt and everything, but I'm going to be real with you. If you ain't having church in your home, something's wrong. if you waiting for the church doors to open back up, they may not never open back up. And if that was your last Sunday in church way back in March or whenever they shut the church down, if that was your last Sunday, I feel sorry for you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And for the people that keep thinking we start, we're not starting a church, but the church starts at home. This is a continuance of what we do when we go to church on Sunday. It's a continuance of what we do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is church. This is our church. This is our sanctuary. And when the church doors open, we'll be there. In love, acting the way church people are supposed to act, hugging one another, loving on one another, encouraging one another. That's what it's going to be if it opens back up. Yes.
Okay. All right. I have two pleas that I want to say. My first plea is to people in leadership. You have been given a task to be over God's people. You were called, you were chosen to lead God's people. As a person that's under leadership, now I'm not just speaking from my leadership, I'm just saying in general, as a person, as a pew member, if you can just teach what the Bible says, teach me how to grow. Teach me how to get in the Word and study for myself. Teach me how to apply the Word to my life. Teach me how to live this thing. That's what we need. We don't need all the other things that go on. Just teach us how to do this so we can please God and we can make it to glory. That's all we need. Just do what you were called to do and leave out the fluff. Leave out all the extra stuff. It's not necessary. Just draw the souls unto God. That's all we need you to do. And for people that's been hurt, my plea for you is to take your eyes off of the hurt. I know it's easier said than done, but take your eyes off the hurt and focus on the healer, because God can heal you. He can heal you from the hurt if you let him. You have to be willing to lay it down and let it go. And you may have to move from where you're at. And I'm learning that. You may have to move. Maybe God is telling you, time's up. Keep it moving. Do something different. I'm trying to push you into greatness, but you are still holding on to the hurt. So my plea is that you just let it go. Because you can be delivered, but you have to want it. You have to want to let go of the pain. So my prayer is that you grow and that the Lord will lead you to the minister, the leader, the first lady, the choir member. It doesn't matter. So whoever needs to guide you in the right direction, I pray that that happens so that way you can let go of the pain. And God can heal that broken heart. There is a scripture, Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He said it right there. He's waiting. He's there, and he can do it. Just open up and let him in. That's all I wanted to say. I'm praying for everybody, and I'm praying for myself, and I'd ask that y'all pray for me because I'm in a situation where I'm dealing with some things, but I know God is able, and he's faithful, and he's going to lead and guide. So, and I pray that he does the same thing for y'all.
Amen.
All right, Overseer, I'm turning
over
to your hands before I get
these
tears out of my
eyes. Amen. I'm enjoying you guys. Amen. I really am. I'm being blessed. You know, it's good to be ministered to. And I tell people, I love to listen to people. I don't care if it's someone young, I don't care who it is. I enjoy ministry. I enjoy the word. And I thank you guys for this opportunity to be here tonight. And I thank those who are listening. Hopefully someone is being blessed. There's some very good things being said and brought to the light. If you're hurting, you know, get from out of that hurt. There's no need to. There's a lot of churches. I mean, I know in Dallas you can drive every 15 seconds. Every 10 seconds you see a church. So, you know, there's plenty of churches. But no, but to be serious, you know, guard your spirits. You know, guard your soul. Don't allow no one to hurt you. Church is not hurt. And I know the subject is church hurt, but church is not hurt. church was never intended to hurt people. And I see people on social media, I heard people in the past experiencing hurt. And just some of the things that I would just see just made no sense to me. I remember this minister, he served up under this pastor for years. And the pastor was just playing with him. He wouldn't license him. It doesn't take all that. Like Derek said, it doesn't take charging nobody $400 for class. I could never understand. I said, brother, I mean, if he's not going to give you a license, what are you waiting for? Go somewhere else. I'm not going to sit up with nobody in 5 or 10 years. It didn't take all that. My father in the ministry, in fact, for me teaching the Sunday school at his church, and he already knew I was called. I knew I was called. And we had talked about it. He said, he told me, brother, I'm going to license you. When you're ready, I'm going to license you. I said, I was excited. I was like, man, I'm ready. You know, and shortly after that, he ordained me to be a pastor. It doesn't take all that. You know,
amen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. And most pastors can see it in you. It doesn't take all that. Don't let nobody play with you. Please don't. Don't let people misguide you. The Bible says, Paul says it over and over and over in the books that he wrote to the church. Don't let no one mislead you. Be not ignorant. If you have a gift, don't let nobody hold your gift. You're missing out on your blessings. When you know, my dad told me my first 4 years, I was fine. I didn't even want to teach. I remember when I first got saved. The Holy Spirit told me. I remember the church. And Sister Keisha, you remember the church in Irving, Pastor O'Neill.
Yes,
sir. When we first got saved, and it was like a few weeks after I got saved, I was sitting on the front pew, listening to the pastor, and I said to myself, I can do this for the rest of my life, just be a deacon. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to be up there one day.
Man.
You know.
Amen.
And so.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I ran for 4 years, and the Most High was just whooping me. But don't run. My dad told me, don't run. He said, the worst thing you can do is run. Look, if the longer you prolong doing your work for the Lord, what he called, I don't care if it's cooking, sewing, you know, mentoring the little children, I don't care what your call is in the ministry. Work your ministry today. If it's something because of this pandemic, don't let that stop you. Get online and mentor children, mentor people. You know, there's so many avenues now. Do what you have to, but don't let your pastor or someone misguide you and tell you you're not supposed to be doing things. You do what the Most High has called you to do, because you're going to miss out on blessings. You're going to miss out on eternal blessings by not working your gifts here on earth. Why? Don't do that. So I understand that people are hurt, but don't wallow in that. Don't sit in that, because you're just being, then at some point, you're going to be hurting yourself. It's just like if someone says something negative to you. At some point, you have to get over that. We've all have heard negative things or had bad things said to us. I understand it can hurt, and we understand that words do hurt. Somebody said words hurt more than punches. I don't know how that works. Amen.
Yes,
I don't know how that works, but amen. So the sister says she's a witness. Amen. I've heard that. Amen. But
yes.
I'm just saying amen. But don't let what someone says about you, don't let that define you. Move forward, especially spiritually. Move forward and pray. Continue. If it's something that you have to deal with prayer, talk to the Most High. Don't get on the phone. Don't get on the internet and put your business out there. Talk to the Most High. I you know, for some people, I never understand that. When people want answers, go to God. Go to Yahweh. Don't go to, because some people will put your business in the street. And that's one thing I don't like to hear in the church, is people talking about other people's business. So, you know, for the most part, amen. I just want to share a few more scriptures, I guess, amen. I'm good, amen. I don't have to necessarily share them. I think I shared enough scriptures. Amen. You know I can go. But I just want people to be blessed.
You're fine. You're fine. And I just, you know, I just want to let everybody know that to us, the overseer, me and Nolan became good friends. He was my wife's pastor when she was living in Texas before she moved to Atlanta. That's how I got to know him.
His wife is my best friend.
And his wife is her best friend. So
amen.
Right there,
yes, they are.
I
amen.
Because, we kind of, it's funny how the Lord bring people together that's almost
right.
like you, and you got the same
right.
viewpoint, you know. And I'm happy about that, but I'm also happy about the place I am right now in the Lord. And then,
amen.
And until I die, I'm going to continue to give God the glory and the honor. And if I can say anything good, I'm going to continue to do that because the Lord is blessing me. I'm not saying it to brag on Derek, but I'm saying it to brag on the Lord. If you just put the right people around you and just listen, and I said it in the beginning of the broadcast, and I'm just making a plea for everyone, and I'm not, like I said, I don't get paid for this, but if you just listen to Bible study tomorrow night, just listen to Bible study. I'm not going to steal you one. Just listen to me. I'm not going to tell you to join. I'm not going to say. Just listen. All you got to do is call 845-277-9094. Listen to Bible study for the hour. And if you tell me that you will not be back, and I'm not going to even invite you back the next week, you're going to come back on your own because you're going to see. And the reason I know this is true because, you know, we live in the world of technology, and I'm technologically ignorant. But my engineers is real good. We see how many people call up on the phone listening to Bible study. Now, I don't know everybody's phone number, don't care to know everybody's phone number, but I know they got some spies listening to Bible study that ain't got no business listening to Bible study because you need to be doing your own Bible study. That's a whole other page, and that's a whole other subject. I'm not talking about the ones that's been hurt. I'm talking about some pastors because they be calling listening, wanting to see what's going on. How is Brother Derek doing this and wanting to, you know. I know you're calling people trying to figure out what's going on with us and what's the next level we're trying to go to. Again, I'm going to say it again. Me and my wife are a team. And in our house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Anything Amen.
That comes in our house, any type of radio or anything, we're going to dedicate it over to the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with us starting a church. You didn't miss the mark. You didn't miss the message by keep asking me that question week after week after week. Now, if you watch Bishop Omar have church all week long in his basement, in his garage, and preaching in his family, that
that's
the I want to be up under. If he can preach that hard, as much as he preached, because he preaches like 8 times a month now, and mess up 8 suits. He ain't just talking and sitting around looking pretty. He tears his suits up. I would hate to be his team. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm just being truthful. He's teaching us how to have church at home. Because at the end of the day, you might have to have church at home. You may not be able to get to him. You may not be able to get to the bishop. But see, I want to keep making this plain because I was in the church. And I know because my father was a pastor. And, you know, after he get done preaching, he got to go walk in the back of the church and shake everybody's hand and talk to everybody. Now, when he talking to everybody, because my father was a pastor, he used to say this, and I'm quite sure Bishop said too, I just got done preaching, and they want to tell me what I just got, gave them the answer to what they just telling me. So he got to preach double, not just in the pulpit, but when he get through them little 5-minute conversations that be going on, and the kids be ready to go get something to eat, but he got to keep talking and talking, and he didn't already gave the answer way before. Them is the type of people that's hurting right now because they ain't got that. They want to be baby. They want to be held. They want to be and it's okay. It's okay that you it's okay. I feel you. I'm fighting for you, but you need to start having church at home. Call Bible study tomorrow night. It's a free call. It's free. If you ain't got a cell phone, you got internet, go to a hotspot, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek. It'll pop right up. Just hit the little white dot and then start playing live for you. You got a cell phone? It's a local call, 845-277-9094. You will be blessed by the Bible study that you hear tomorrow night. I don't even know what the Bible study is going to be about, but I'm guaranteeing you, when I went to Bible study that first night, I had an attitude. I was looking for a reason to quit church. And this was just a couple months ago. Elder Taylor, I got the sermon that he preached in my Bible, but I'm going to keep that to my heart because I'm still dealing with some things. But it gave me life. And not just him, but the other elders and the deacons that gave me life. And when you surround yourself around real men and real women of God who's not trying to take from you but trying to give you what the Lord has given them, that's what love is all about. That's that agape love, unconditional love. We're going to love you even if you ain't doing
right. That's right.
We're going to love you even
Amen.
If you ain't doing right. We're going to love until you start doing right. Because what was easy for me may be hard for you.
That's like Emma said last week, you're going to love the hell out of them. So I guess that's what you
got
to do, right?
You got to love the hell out of them.
Amen.
You got to love the hell out of them. But then some people, and I'm talking about some of these uppity preachers, pastors, who don't know they're doing wrong, some of them you got to beat the hell out of them. And I'm going there because a lot of these people, and the reason I'm saying this because it's being is going on with what I'm talking about next week. Is, you know, I'm saying this. I got to say this because it's the truth. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can beat the hell out of them with the word because that's what the word does. And you got to remember, my daddy always taught me you ought to always end every sermon going to Calvary. Well, why do you got to end it going to Calvary? Because that's where the game was won at. It was on Calvary. And Jesus went to hell and beat the hell out the devil on Calvary. So in order for me to get my message across, I got to beat the hell out of people when they're doing stuff that's wrong. When you got sissies up there leading praise and worship, and yet you know they're sissy, but you're doing it for entertainment purposes, that's not right. And the truth is not in you. You cannot tell me that I can serve God in my home, and yet I'm allowing stuff to go on in my home that's not right. I can't do it. And Kay, you know good and well, we have to have a sanctified house. We can't sit up here and let the kids do what they want to do in the house, because if they do that, that's messing up our sanctuary. God's not going to like that. You cannot go into God's sanctuary doing any
Amen.
And everything and saying it's okay, and they want to cover it up with love. Jesus loved it. Yeah, he loved everyone, but also he doesn't like sin. He went to hell and died for all of that, delivered from all of that. And that's what we need to start telling people the truth about how we ought to have church and have it the way the Lord would have us to have it. You can't have sissies
Amen.
Running around the church. And I know that's not the
Amen.
Popular thing to say, and I know my sponsors don't like me saying it because the gay community is very powerful right now, and they can get you shut off the air if you keep talking about that kind of stuff. But as like I said before, the Lord is taking us places we can't go, and I'm not going to be quiet and sugarcoat anything for anything. You can't have sissies running around in the church. Just like you can't have dykes running around in the church either. You can't do it. And if you're trying to do it and cover it up and want to cover it up with love, that's not right. And that's hurting people too, because people think that you can straddle the fence and you can go both ways, and that's not true.
No,
and I'm gonna be that long. That's what I'm gonna be talking about next week. Is all these preachers and everything and mega preachers and little preachers got a little bit of members, and because you can entertain, you think that's good. That's not good. And yeah, I get emotional about it because I know people that are doing it, that's locked in it, that don't know how to get out of it. And if I'm saying it's bad and the other preacher saying it's good, you know, okay. Listen to the other preacher. But you and I both know, and everybody know. And then, Overseer, again, I want to thank you for being on. Everyone that's listening to the Chaos Broadcast,
all glory to the Most High.
I said it last week. I'm going to say
it
again this week. 40,000 for the month. Last month. This month, new month. And my goal is to be 50,000. And now I got preachers calling me, wanting to know, waste my time and argue with me, well, how you get so many members. Well, again, like I said, I don't advertise the way I'm supposed to. I'm not qualified to be doing any of this. The only thing I'm qualified to do is run my mouth because the Lord is telling me what to say. That's the only thing I'm qualified to do. So if you want to know how we got 40,000 listeners, you need to get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to lead and guide you how to get them. Because there's no gimmick here. I don't have a gimmick.
And I
don't
no
have a gimmick.
Answer either because everything that happens is nothing but God's grace and mercy. So everything that happens,
Amen.
This is nothing but God. There's nothing nobody is doing. It's God doing this. So my heart is so heavy I just want people to get it and know that God loves you. And I just want them to be drawn unto him because he is a great, great, great father. If you trust him, I'm telling you, he does things you can't answer. So it's a lot of things you can't even answer. You just got to say, but God, it's nothing but God. And I know that's an easy cliche that people say, but it is true. It's God. So there's no answer.
Amen.
So, no answer. God is amazing.
Can I share a scripture real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, overseer. Get ready to get out of here.
Amen. I just want to show the shred of the scripture. Acts, the second chapter, verse 47 says, praising God, that's Yahweh of heaven, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. All glory to the Most High.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Glory daily.
The
thank
church,
you, Lord.
As he sees fit. Amen. All glory to the
Amen.
Most High.
Amen. I've enjoyed doing D&K Bible Break. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing this with my wife. She controls me. I was so fired up yesterday, and I think I did pretty good today. I really do think I did pretty good today. I think I did pretty good today. Bishop, I know you're on there, but if you don't hear from me today or tomorrow, tell Deacon that I can't go golfing Wednesday. I messed up. I may have to go to Kroger and get some roses. I'm supposed to go golfing Wednesday. I don't know if I'm be allowed to go now. But I want to thank everyone that's tuned in.
Don't
for
put that
tonight.
On me because you want me going because you don't want to be embarrassed with your golf game. So don't put that on me. Don't do that.
You just don't know when to be quiet. Okay. I want to thank everyone that listened to D&K Bible Break. Overseer, I want to thank you again. A great man of God.
You.
You can hear him on Friday, on Freestyle Friday at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and also on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. He has Spiritual Sense of Life that he does every Saturday at 6 p.m. Texas Time. So if you want to hear more of the Overseer, check him out. You heard him. He's qualified. He gives the scriptures. And I'm just telling you, all week long, all you got to do is listen to K-Off. It's a free call, 845-277-9094. You can start on Monday. You can listen to me and K. You can Tuesday night Bible study. They got a great team. Boy, they got a great team on Tuesday night. And I can't remember who teaching tomorrow night, but whoever teaching, no. Evangelist Dove is speaking tomorrow night. And she good. She's powerful. And when I mean powerful, she is powerful when it comes to teaching the Word of God. And she will knock you out tomorrow. And I'm glad, yeah, she is teaching tomorrow. She will knock you out with the Word tomorrow. And not just her, but to all of the teams, Elder Taylor, Deacon Luette, Pastor Omar, he facilitates it, and see, this is a leader. See, because it ain't, you don't see Pastor Omar sitting behind the desk with his wife looking intelligent with his bishop collar on. He gives it all to his teachers. Y'all go do this. Y'all do this. And that's what, and when he said, the first thing he said to me within 5 minutes, when last time you preached? I never really did dawn on me why he said it, but he had to feed my, because when you're a preacher, you just got that it. You just want it. You just want to grab a mic. You just want to holler one time. That's why it's hard for me to shut up on here, because the Lord gave me a talent. I want to keep talking because I know I'm giving
right.
the glory to the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with that.
Amen.
So if y'all get mad at me because I talk too much, you need to take that up with the Lord. But I thank the Lord for him for giving me an opportunity to sit in on the Bible study and then give me the opportunity to put it on a platform like K-Off. We never saw this coming. It wasn't discussed. It wasn't planned. It wasn't nothing. And I don't know where we're going with this. And even with the overseer, he helped build those numbers up too, because he got thousands of people listening to him. So when I say it's a team effort, we're doing this thing to uplift God's kingdom. And when there's no big eyes, everyone's just doing what they're supposed to do, you don't know where the Lord is going. And to see the bishop have church at home is an encouragement to me to get me at that point. I ain't there yet. We still working. We still trying to get it. But every avenue that's in my life is going to be serving the Lord. Let the Lord's will be done, not my will. Because if my will, I'll be somewhere eating a sausage sandwich, drinking a Pepsi. But that's not healthy for me. And that's not going to do me no good. So I need to keep doing what I'm doing. And every chance we get, we're going to take it to another level. My goal this month, for the month of August, going into September, is 50,000 people. If we get 50,000 people, we really going to be rolling.
Amen.
My goal is for every show to have a two-minute commercial advertising what they're doing for the Lord. So the Lord gets the credit. The Lord gets the glory. So tomorrow night, again, we got Praise Tabernacle at 7 p.m. You'll hear Bishop Omar, and you'll hear Evangelist Stanton teach the Word of God on tomorrow night. Again, we'll be back, me and Kay, we'll be back on Monday at 7 p.m. If I survive the week, we'll be back on Monday at 7 p.m. For another D&K Bible break. And what we're going to talk about, and again, we're dealing with church hurt. I'm not going to keep talking about church hurt, but sometimes people can say stuff to make you just shake your head. But we'll deal with that on next Monday. And with that being said, I ain't got nothing else to say. Kay, I'm going to let you and the overseer have the last words tonight because I felt like I didn't talk too much.
Well, I'm going to let the overseer close us out in prayer. And the only thing that I wanted to say is thank everybody for listening. And I pray that it touched somebody to make a difference in their
Amen.
Life. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and close it out with prayer. You guys did a tremendous job. I really enjoyed it. Thank you guys for having me once again. All glory to the Most High. Amen. I don't want no praise. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Amen. So if y'all got anything else y'all want to say before I pray?
No, sir. Amen. See y'all next
time. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for listening. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day, Heavenly Father, that you promised us, dear Heavenly Father, that you say that we should be here, dear Heavenly Father, and we thank you for life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for saving our souls for all eternity. We bless and praise your holy name. We thank you for the listeners, dear Heavenly Father, for taking out of their busy schedules to hear us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for Derek Oliver and his wife, Amen, and Ms. Kay. We thank his team for this opportunity and this platform. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that we reach the souls, dear Heavenly Father, that have been church hurt, dear Heavenly Father, to let them know that there is no hurt in church, dear Heavenly Father. For your Son said to love you, dear Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, and to love one another as Christ has loved the church, dear Heavenly Father. So let all the believers out there and the saints know, dear Heavenly Father, that we love them, we're praying for them, especially during this pandemic. Bless their hearts and keep them, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, well, I came just to give God the glory, all of the glory, all the glory. Oh, I came just to give God the glory. He has been so good to me, oh, so good.